You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Welcome to the Red Nation Podcast Interview Series. My name is Steve Boscher, and earlier today I had the pleasure of speaking with Kevin McKenna. A native of Calgary, Alberta, the 32-year-old central defender has enjoyed a successful professional career in Europe, playing in Germany with Energy Cottbus and FC Köln, and in Scotland with Hearts. At the international level, McKenna has been capped 63 times by Canada and has been a key member of the Canadian national team since making his debut against Trinidad and Tobago in a friendly in May of 2000. In this interview, Kevin and I discuss his current campaign in Germany with FC Köln, rumors in the summer that had been linking him with a move to Toronto FC, his recently completed World Cup qualifying campaign with the Canadian men's national team, and his status with the Canadian national team moving forward. And now, Kevin McKenna. Kevin, you've been one of the most informed Canadian players competing in Europe over the last number of weeks, leading FC Köln from the back, establishing yourself as the number one center back, and scoring goals for a team that is winning week in, week out. How has the current club campaign been going for you personally, and what have been some of the reasons for your team's, you know, strong success?
Yeah, I just think in the last little while, you know, we've stabilized our team. You know, I think, you know, the World Cup qualifying, you know, it affected us a lot because a lot of players were away. You know, myself, I was always, you know, traveling back over to Canada and stuff, and with the jet lag and stuff, and I was an ankle operation at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, you know, I think that everybody's finding their form now, and our team's looking really good.
Cologne was relegated right at the end of 2011-2012 campaign and lost star forward Lukas Podolski to Arsenal. Heading into the current campaign, what's been the message from the club to the players? Was it focused on rebuilding, establishing a new era, or is the club focused on getting right back up to the Bundesliga?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously always the goal is to get promoted, but to the first Bundesliga, but you know, I think the main aim right now is to rebuild the club and to you know, to focus on younger players, and that's what the club's done, is focus on a lot of younger players. They've kept their around maybe 3-4 experienced players that you know, will help the younger players, and you know, it's starting to pay off now. At the beginning of the season was difficult, obviously, with a new team, a lot of young players. You know, it's you're playing at a massive football club, so it was difficult at the beginning for everybody.
You started your professional career back in 1998 in Germany with Energy Cottbus, and Germany's always been one of the top countries in world football. It's also been a country in which many of Canada's best players have plied their trade at some point in their careers. As a soccer nation, what are some of the things that Canada can learn from how things are done in Germany?
Yeah, it's a real professional country, you know. They take everything serious, whether it's football or any other sport, or, you know, their way of life is, I think, you know, it's a lot more disciplined than I would say in North America, and, you know, maybe to take a little bit from that, and, you know, it's a country that, you know, especially football-wise, is massive, you know what I mean? And, you know, I think Canada's growing. I think we showed with our World Cup campaign that, you know, the country has grown. Football-wise, and you know, I think it still has you know, a lot of big steps to make, but I think it's moving now in the right direction at least.
About a year ago, I had a chance to speak with your friend and national teammate Paul Stoltari about the beginning of his career in Germany, and he was quick to highlight the fact that his first Bundesliga match came against a newly promoted Energy Cottbus side that featured another young Canadian player named Kevin McKenna. What do you remember about that match, and how special was it for you to make your Bundesliga debut in the same game in which Paul was making his?
Yeah, I mean, we're best friends, so it was a nice thing, obviously. But you know, we were on the losing end, and you know, for him it was good. You know, he scored a goal and stuff, and on his debut, and obviously I was happy for him. Obviously not against us, but you know, he's had a great career as well, and I think you know, it was a nice game, I think, for both of us.
Fast forward to the present, and the January transfer window is approaching, and I believe you have 7 months remaining on your contract with Köln. You've played the majority of your career in Germany, but there were rumors about the possibility of you coming to Toronto and joining Toronto FC in the summer. How settled are you in Germany, and is returning to North America to play in the MLS something that is of interest to you at this point in your career?
Yeah, well, the interview, the you know, there was a lot of interest from Toronto, but that's gone now. They've decided to go in a different direction, so I think that that ship has sailed for now, and you know, we'll see what the future holds. It's you know, my kids were born in Germany, my wife's German, so. To come to North America, you know, I was you know, if I was to come to, I think, to play in the MLS, you know, I think, I mean, I would love to play for a Canadian team, because I want to obviously, you know, promote Canadian soccer, obviously, but, you know, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be, and, you know, I look forward in, you know, in summer to see what happens. If I stay at Cologne or I move to a different team, well, it's, you know, only, you know, time will tell in the next, I think, couple of months, we'll see.
You would obviously add a lot of value to any MLS team, be that a Canadian team or even a U.S. team, via your defensive abilities and ability to organize the back line, your experience and strong leadership qualities, and even your ability to score goals. However, as much as the MLS has grown rapidly over the last several years, there is still a difference between the salaries that players make in the Bundesliga versus in the MLS. And we also saw a case during the summer in which the MLS nixed a plan by Toronto FC to make another central defender, Olaf Melberg, a designated player, which I think really highlighted that the league is not always that keen on making defenders designated players. You know, as those possibilities possibly appear again in the future, is that a concern for you?
No. I mean, it's I'm not looking to be a designated player. You know, I was just looking to... you know, it wasn't. I wasn't. That wasn't really the conversation. What we have with Toronto, not to be obviously not to be a designated player. I know that I'm getting on in age as well, so it's you know, I can't you know, I can't be asking Toronto for $1 million or something. You know what I mean? That's unrealistic. So you know, I think the designated player. Obviously, I heard about Olaf Melberg. I mean. He's a massive player, obviously, but you know, I think the league's not ready to go in that direction. They want the flair players, I think, and you know, they want to see a lot of goals scored. And you know, I think though the MLS, I think, is what I've seen, what I've read, you know, is going in the right direction, though.
You know, there's obviously the time difference over there in Germany, and you know, you're busy with training and playing, and you've got a family. How much have you been able to follow the rise of the MLS over the last several years?
To be honest, I would say in the last year I've paid more attention to it than years past. Obviously, with the interest of a couple of MLS teams, you know, I just want to see how it is. You know, I spoke to a lot of players. You know, how it is in the MLS, and you know, I watched highlights of games and stuff like that. And you know, I think it's a real athletic league. You know, it's got a lot of great athletes, and you know, a lot of experienced older professionals that are there, and you know, the likes of Beckham, Henry, and a lot of other ones that have really made their way there. And yeah, it's good to see that, at least in North America. I'm hoping that more in Canada, now that it'll boom more in Canada, that you know, I hope in my time at least that I can see at least a national team play in the World Cup.
Moving from your club career to your international career with the Canadian national team, you were quoted during the recent World Cup qualifying campaign with Canada saying that you would likely be retiring from international football at the end of you know, the most recent World Cup qualifying cycle. Are you planning to officially announce your retirement from the Canadian national team, or would you be open to further call-ups to help mentor younger players as the team transitions somewhat over the next few years, or even to make an appearance for a match here in Canada so the supporters and CSA could express their appreciation for everything that you've done for the program over the years?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to wait and see, obviously, what happens in my future, what's going to happen, obviously, in the winter and next summer, see what happens first. And yeah, I mean, I would like something like that, you know, a game where I would come in at least, and you know, if I do decide to retire, that at least say thanks to the fans, because they've been in the last couple of years very, very, very good to our team, and very supportive. And you know, I was very impressed with the support we got through the World Cup qualifying campaign this time.
The recently completed World Cup qualifying campaign obviously did not end the way that most people had hoped. That said, looking at it overall, there were many positives. The team missed the hex by only the 1 point, and the 10 points earned made it quite successful in comparison to previous campaigns. The team was near unbeatable at home and earned shutouts in 4 of the 6 matches, with the back line being very strong. Now that you've had some time to sort of you know, digest it all and look back on the campaign as a whole, what are your general thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still obviously hurting from the last game. It hurt a lot, and you know, to get beat 8-1, it hurt a lot, and you know, I don't think I wouldn't wish that on any player. You know, it's a horrible feeling. Obviously, the team was down and out, and you know, myself and obviously Steven and the older players have taken a lot of responsibility and a lot of stick for that, but that comes into territory. We deserve that, and you know, it's I'm still when I look back at the campaign, you know, it's obviously a bitter ending, but I'm proud of all the players that played in that campaign. You know, we were a great team, we were a great unit. The players got along great. There was no animosity in the team, no nothing. It was Steven Hart made it an absolutely fantastic atmosphere, and for me, he deserves all the plaudits. I mean, he's a terrific man, that's for sure, and he coached us well. We you know, like you said, we were so close to getting there, and you know, it's a fine line. You know, if he gets us there, he becomes a hero. And you know, or he walks away like he did, and you know, and he resigns. You know what I mean? And that was the difference. And you know, us as players got to take responsibility for that as well. I mean, you know, we didn't really help out Steven in the last game, obviously. And you know, I wish him all the best. And I can tell you, any MLS team or any teams that need a coach, he would be definitely somebody I would look at.
Your halftime interview during the loss in the final game in Honduras has been a bit of a topic of discussion in the media and among supporters. Given the fact that Canada was missing a number of the team's most proficient offensive players and had only scored the 1 goal against Cuba away from home, do you think people fully understand the context in which you made your comments about damage control?
I mean, you have to look at you're playing away from home. How many times has Canada won in a Central American country? You know, I think the last time was, I think I played with, was it Dale Mitchell against Guatemala, I think it was, where I think even at that time we were out of World Cup qualifying. I think we won there. I think Dwayne scored the winner or something like that. That was 2 World Cup qualifying campaigns before. I mean, you got to be realistic sometimes, and it wasn't like, you know, it's 4-0 at halftime, and, you know, you can go in the dressing room and you know, you can try and get the guys up, this and that, and try and get yourself back in the game. But you know, you could see after the first, after at least the second goal, that our backs were against the wall. They were keeping, they kept the pressure up, and you know, I mean, I'm not going to come in and I'm not going to do an interview at halftime and tell lies to the camera, obviously, you know, and say, oh, we're going to go in there and you know, we're going to come out at halftime and you know, we're going to turn the whole thing around. I mean, of course, you're going to come out and give everything you have. I mean, there's no player that goes on the field and just gives up. But, I mean, you have to see that realistic. And, you know, those are my thoughts at the time. And if the people can't accept that, then... I mean, we see the way the result went. I mean, it's not like we came out at halftime and said, okay, let's concede 3 more goals or 4 more goals. I mean, you have to sometimes put it into perspective. Yeah, at halftime, we were all in a state of shock. And, you know, we expected the game to go a little bit different. Obviously, in the first few minutes, we have... you know, we had maybe a penalty shout on Nick Ledgerwood. You know, if he takes a foul and goes down, maybe it's a penalty. And, you know, we hit the post and then toss that has a massive chance right after that for the rebound. So, you know, these are all situations where you know went against us in Honduras, and yeah, you know, we're losing 4-0 at halftime away from home and in Central America, where you know we're not expected to get results. You know, in my opinion, I think we should have been qualified way before that. In my opinion, anyways.
You know, that last game, and even the last couple of games, and even looking at the qualifying as a whole, there were a number of key veteran players that weren't able to play in either all of the matches or some of the really big important games. Dwayne Di Rosario, Olivier Ocean, and Josh Simpson. You know, how big a difference does it make? We know that Canada maybe doesn't have as much depth as, you know, let's say a Mexico or United States. Would it have made a difference if those guys had been fit and healthy throughout the whole run of the qualifying?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't make any excuses in that sort of way. I mean, I think through the campaign leading up to the Honduras game, I think we had enough chances in games to win games. To win the games that we drew. I think personally in the first game against Honduras, I mean, I even told Tiba Hutchinson walking off the field that, you know, I hope this game doesn't cost us in the end. And in the end, it cost us. So, you know, if you're ever going to beat Honduras, it was at home. I mean, we were all over them. And those are the games you have to win. If you want to qualify for a World Cup, those are the games you have to win. And those are the games you have to bury a team. When they're there to get buried, then you bury them. And that's what Honduras did to us at home. They were all fit. They had all their players fit. And, you know, we had a couple missing, and they buried us. And that's the difference. And when we had them at home, we didn't bury them. It's the same as Panama. We beat Panama at home, and away from home, they beat us. So it was a fine line. I think all three teams are close to each other. I think all three teams, in my opinion, can beat each other at home. That's how close it was. And Honduras got that all-important draw where, you know, we were looking back at it as a decent result, where, in my mind, I didn't think it was a good result. I was mad after that game. I was very mad because I think we should have won the game.
Another big topic of discussion after the qualifying run ended was how difficult it is for Canada to get results in Central America. You know, as a veteran who's played all over the world, what is it about that region that makes it such a struggle for Canada to earn results there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hostile atmosphere, you know, and it's the same reason why they come up to Canada and they can't win. You know what I mean? When they come up to Canada, they struggle as well because, you know, we have our home support behind us. It's a different atmosphere. It's not so, you know, it's not such a hostile atmosphere. It's more of a friendly atmosphere, and you know, maybe that doesn't suit them. You know what I mean? And I mean, you can look at it in two ways. So, you know, I think that I'm hoping over the next couple of years, you know, the players get used to it. I think personally, the younger players that have played, you know, the likes of Andrew, you know, Dayan, okay, didn't play that much, but he, you know, I think he experienced and saw what was going on. You know, I think in the future can only help them. You know, I think there's a lot of young players that will still be in the program that I hope, you know, can at least do it next time.
With Stephen Hart resigning as head coach, the search is now on for a new Canadian national team head coach. What attributes do you think are most important for the next head coach to have in order for Canada to, you know, take that next step and progress even further in qualifying?
I think just convincing the players and convincing most of the players that, you know, to come in every trip to, you know, to commit themselves to Canada. I think that's a thing Stephen got out of all the players. You know, a lot of players committed to the cause, and I think that's the biggest thing you need. And if you have the players always coming in and wanting to come in for training camps and wanting to come in for Gold Cups, wanting to get better, you know, and you know, that could be the key. I think even the key, there's a couple other key factors, you know, make people like David Hoylett and Jonathan de Guzman. I think those are players that you have to convince to come and play for Canada too. I think they're big, big players, and you know, they can make the difference as well. You know, and I'm hoping that they'll come and play for Canada as well.
Finishing off with one final question, I think most people would look at your career and your national team career, and then qualify you as one of the, you know, the best central defenders and players that Canada's ever produced. What have been the main reasons for your success, and what advice, if any, would you give to the next generation of Canadian defenders who have to take your place on the Canadian national team backline in the years to come?
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, first of all, what you've said. Obviously, it's nice to for people to say that, obviously. I mean, I'm just I'm the player, so I don't really look at it in that sort of way. But, you know, I just hope that, you know, players that come in and play, you know, play a central defender position, you know, the first thing is, you know, to always organize your team, to, you know, to be hard to beat first before anything. I mean, I've always instilled in myself, you know, never to be easy to beat. You know, that's been obviously my goal through my career. Obviously, for an attacking player, it would be different. It would be like just go out all attack. But you know, mine was always, you know, be a nasty defender. Don't make it easy on them. You know, don't let them you know, win easy balls and stuff. And you know, I think Canada with Dejan and Andrew and David Edgar, I think, you know, they got good central defenders that will take the team forward. They've experienced a lot, and you know, I'm hoping that they'll definitely push the team on.